This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and I've got my friend Amy Cotton on the line. Amy works for Christian Aid Mission. We're going to be talking about a couple things today. Starting out, we've got this report from ACAPS, which is a kind of a co-op of nonprofits that assess and respond to global humanitarian needs. And they sent out this report recently that highlighted 17 different countries with serious ongoing humanitarian crises, everything from Syria, which is kind of right at the front of the headlines, to Nigeria, Central African Republic, and then across the way in Myanmar. And there's stuff going on just all the way up to Ukraine as well. And we'll give you the full details at our website. But starting off, Amy, how many of these 17 countries do you guys partner with missionaries in?
Most all of them, we have we assist the ministries that are indigenous to that country, and I noticed most of them are in Africa, and I thought that was very interesting because disease, I can understand why. Disease, hunger, literacy is such a big part of the issues creating that humanitarian crisis in those developing countries. I can see that they would be, let me start over, I totally goofed on that.
That's okay, go for it.
Okay. Katie, we assist ministries in most of the countries that are listed on this report, and these are ministries that are indigenous to their country, and they work with their own people groups, speaking their own languages. I did think it was interesting that most of them were in Africa. You know, we hear a lot about the Syrian refugee crisis and how that's affecting neighboring countries, but we don't hear as much about Africa unless Boko Haram or something like that is in the news. So I can see there being such needs in Africa because so many of those countries struggle with disease and hunger and illiteracy.
And how do your partners come alongside and address these serious humanitarian needs while at the same time addressing a bigger need, and that's the need to know about Christ and the, I guess, eternal need that every soul has?
Well, a lot of the ministries that we assist work with orphans, widows, women and children. They plant churches, do evangelism. Sometimes underground, if there's a lot of persecution in that in a country, and also prison ministry. So they're working to meet tangible needs. They pass out a lot of supplies as far as food, tents, and help digging wells. So there's water in the Sub-Sahara regions. You know, water is a critical need. So they bring these tangible needs and physical needs and share the love of Christ, which draws folks to learn more about Jesus and more about why they're choosing to help them when they have needs as well.
And is that maybe an avenue that, I don't know if it, I mean, God always makes a way, but do your partners find that this way of helping, meeting those physical needs, gains a gospel opportunity that might not otherwise have been there?
Yes, definitely. For all of them, relationship is key. And so they work on building a relationship. So there's mutual understanding and a trust developed. And then they're able to share what Christ has done in their life and meeting those needs, visiting them and going back and visiting them again, following up, caring about them, genuinely having a concern and wanting to know what is going on in their life and how they can be prayed for, how they can be future served. So that, I think, develops that relationship and that bond that then allows them to go deeper and share their faith and their relationship with Christ.
And just like ACAPS highlighted these 17 different areas of concern, are there any, I guess, big challenges or any areas of concern from a ministry standpoint that you'd like to highlight for our audience?
Well, I think, you know, in Syria, you know, they've had 5 years of civil war, and there are 4 million refugees that have gone to neighboring countries like Jordan and Turkey and Lebanon, and then more than 700,000 have gone to European countries. And so the ongoing need for aid, you know, has been kind of exasperated. And so there are a lot of needs as these countries are kind of closing off and not sure that they want to accept more refugees, and they're kind of capping off. And so that leaves those neighboring countries and those ministries that are in Syria working with internally displaced people to have more resources and you know, sharing needs that they need more resources to continue to support, because this has been going on for so long. So many resources have been depleted.
And I hear sometimes, especially in the U.S., as the political debate, you know, we shouldn't accept Muslims. We should only accept Christians. But then, you know, this is going on for so long. And I assume that many of the Christians have already gotten out of the country. Are there any that you guys are aware of, besides your indigenous missionaries? Are there, you know, what's the Christian population like, or spiritual landscape, I guess?
Well, many have fled for safety because of just all of the war. But there are ministries that have decided to stay because they've had this unprecedented opportunity, and they've said, you know, we've been praying for years to be able to minister to these people, and now they're coming to us in droves and wanting to know about Christ because there's such turmoil and chaos. So the church is growing in the Middle East. It's exciting to hear how people are seeing the different fighting going on within the different Muslim factions, and so they're curious. They want to know who Jesus is. They want to know why these people are helping them in the name of Christ when, you know, they've always been told that Christians are infidels and bad people, but yet they're the ones that are reaching out and providing aid and caring for them, coming alongside them and hearing their story.
And it's an unprecedented opportunity for us as well as the body of Christ to help those who are on the front lines, the people that Christian Aid Mission partners with. How can our listeners come alongside and get involved in equipping those who are in Syria, in the surrounding countries, to respond to this need?
Well, like you said, there are mounting needs, and we in America, we're part of the global church, and these people in Syria and in these neighboring countries that have fled, whether they're refugees or internally displaced persons, they're our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can help those that are on the ground to share Christ, that are there, that are able to get the supplies to the people that need them the most. And so we need to pray for protection of the Christians. We need to pray for protection of everyone that's in those countries, because these are war-torn countries, and we need to pray that there would be an openness to the gospel and a connection with a Christian. And if the Lord calls folks to give, we send 100% of funds designated to that particular ministry that folks designate. So we will send 100% of those funds to a ministry in Syria that will be able to buy grain and flour and oil and heaters and tents, and help meet tangible needs, and Bibles and Arabic language to be able to share with those that need it the most.
And if we'll connect our listeners to the next steps on those action points. But while I've got you on the line, I'd like to switch gears and talk about the Philippines, because there's this church building that's under construction. I understand it's also going to serve as a training center. Can you fill us in on that?
It is. It's a ministry that's based in Mindanao in the Philippines, on the Mindanao Islands. And it's they're building a church building. It's currently under construction, and they are praying for God to provide the needed funds. And it's going to be a place that will be able to have churches that have been meeting in homes to meet together for fellowship. And it's also going to serve as a training center to work with multiple tribes and ethnic groups that have not yet heard the gospel. It'll help save costs by shortening the distance that the Christians have to get to travel for instruction. So it's going to be a training center to raise up leaders to share the gospel among their people groups. And so we're excited to partner with them and to share this need with your listeners.
And I also understand that it's going to be especially helpful for former Muslims. I didn't realize the Philippines were, heavily populated by Muslims.
Yes, especially among the different islands, there is a large Muslim population. And so it's a wonderful opportunity for these ministries to be able to share the love of Christ and among these different tribes and ethnic groups.
Ministry in Philippines, it looks a lot different than ministry in the U.S. As you mentioned, there are many different ethnic groups and islands and tribes. Why partner with missionaries here? I guess, how does that process get started, really, is the question is, how do you come in contact with these Christians?
Well, a lot. Christian Aid has been around for 60 years, and so we have decades-long relationships with ministries in the Philippines, and we assist more than 95 ministries in the Philippines. And what often happens is a ministry will share about what another ministry is doing and say, "Hey, this is another group to consider." And so we have our area director for Southeast Asia go there and visit these ministries and make sure, check them for accountability. We always evaluate a ministry for their faith, their financial integrity, and their fruitfulness before and during the time that we assist the ministry and promote the ministry. So most of the time, other ministries recommend them to us and let us know about what all is going on and what that ministry is doing and why they're worthy of having funds raised for them to grow and enlarge their ministry.
And the deadline, or not deadline, but the expected finish time for this project is next month. By the time our listeners hear about this, the project is already nearing the finish line. Are funds really going to make a difference if someone donates towards this project?
Oh, totally. They don't quite have all of the funds that they need, and so they're praying, they're trusting the Lord that He's going to make a way. Awesome. So your listeners can be a true blessing this Christmas and support this church that's going to be reaching at least six different ethnic groups.
That's great. We will connect our listeners with this project and with Christian Aid at our website. For now, that wraps up my questions. Was there anything you'd like to add on either story, anything I may have missed?
I would just like to add, it was interesting to me looking at the report that Nepal was not on the list after the April earthquake. They had such a large region just leveled. And our South Asia director traveled there a week after the earthquake and got footage of the damage. And we assist more than 12 ministries in Nepal. And so they have been working on rebuilding efforts. At this point, that's the need. But India has stopped allowing imports with Nepal adopting its new constitution. So there's been trouble getting fuel in, getting water in, and supplies in, and resources in for these rebuilding efforts. So it was kind of surprising to me because Nepal is in great need as well. And so that's a country that we need to be praying for. And it's also an opportunity for those 12 ministries to reach out and share the love of Christ in that predominantly Hindu country.
And we've been hearing from other ministry friends about that exact opportunity and how there are new, I guess, gateways that weren't there before the crisis. Is Christian Aid still able to send monetary help, or has that been cut off by the government as well?
No, we're still able to send funds to the ministry. And they have been, I mean, from day one when the earthquake hit, they were able to get resources from kind of the outer regions of Nepal, where they did, where they were not affected and had resources. And that, of course, helps their economy and helps get resources to people sooner by having the funds there in country and able to buy tarps for tents and resources, food. Now it's, you know, getting to be the winter months, so it's getting colder. You know, in Nepal, especially these remote tribes that are along the Himalayan mountains, it's getting very cold there. And so I know the ministries are working to provide clothing and shoes and as well as physical food needs and resources to help the folks, the victims of the earthquake.
Something we'll definitely keep in front of our listeners and a topic of prayer. For now, I'll just remind our listeners, I've been talking with Amy Cotton of Christian Aid Mission about a variety of subjects, things you can be praying for and also giving to if the Lord leads. Amy, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Thank you for having me, Katie.